Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power of the Lord is here.
Hello, podcast family. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a Eyes to Highs production on Blog Talk Radio. This is Nurse Carmen. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hyde. And next we will be having a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hyde.
Good evening, and I thank each and every one for tuning in tonight. As I've always said with my podcast, I'm going to be saying some things that you might not have heard before, but what I would love for you to do is the questions that you might have, if you can hold it to the end of the podcast, or while the podcast is going on, I ask that you just ask yourself, because it's important for us to understand who it is that we are, and not only who it is that we are, but my godfather told me a long time ago, and not who you are, but whose you are. That is so important. And if you would ask yourself some of these questions that you might want to bring back to me, I'm positive that the Spirit will reveal answers to you. I'm going to start by letting you know that there is no time like the present. Now, I know you heard this before, I'm sure, but you didn't understand it. Now you do. There's no time but this time. There is no moment but this moment. Now is all there is. Then you might say, well, what about yesterday and tomorrow? Figments of your imagination, constructions of the mind, non-existent in ultimate reality. Everything that ever happened is happening and ever will happen is happening right now. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't understand. And you can't, not completely, but you can begin to. And the beginning grasps all that is needed here. So listen, time is not a continuum. It is an element of relativity that exists virtually, not horizontally. Don't think of it as left to right thing, a so-called timeline that runs from birth to death for each individual and from some infinite point to some finite point for the universe. Time is an up and down thing. Think of it as a spindle representing the eternal moment of now. Now, picture a leaf of paper on the spindle, one atop the other. These are the elements of time. Each element separates and distinct, yet each exists simultaneously with the other. All the paper on the spindle at once, as much as there will ever be, as much as there ever was. There is only one moment, this moment, the eternal moment of now. It's all right now that everything, it is right now that everything is happening and God glorified. There is no waiting for that glory of God. God made it this way because God just couldn't wait. God was so happy to be who God was that he couldn't wait to make the manifestation in God's reality. So boom, here it is, right here, right now, all of it. There is no beginning to this and there is no end. All of everything just is. Within the isness is where your experience and your greatest secret lies. You can move in consciousness with the isness to any place you choose. So you say, you mean you can time travel? Indeed. And many of you have. All of you have, in fact. And you do it routinely, usually in what you call your dream state. Most of you are not aware of it. You cannot retain the awareness. But the energy sticks to you like glue. And sometimes there's enough residue that others, sensitive to this energy, can pick up things about your past or your future. They feel or read this residue. You call them seers and psychics, residue that even you, your limited consciousness, are aware you've been there before. The whole being is suddenly jarred by realization that you've done this all before. So you say deja vu, yes. Or that wonderful feeling when you meet someone that you've known, that wonderful feeling when you meet someone that you've known them all your life, known them for all eternity. That's a spectacular feeling. That's a marvelous feeling. And that's a true feeling. You have known that soul forever. Forever is a right now thing. So you have often looked up or looked down from your piece of paper on the spindle and seen all the other pieces. And you've seen yourself there before a part of you is on every piece. I tell you this, you have always been, are now, and always will be. There has never been a time when you were not. Nor will there ever be such a time. You say, but wait, what about the concept of old souls? Aren't some souls older than others? Nothing is older than anything. God created it all at once, and all of it exists right now. The experience of older and younger to which you have to do with the level of awareness of a particular aspect of being. You are all aspects of being, simply part of what is. Each part has the consciousness of the whole embedded thing. Every element carries the imprint. Awareness is the experience that consciousness is the individual aspect of the whole. It becomes quite literally self-conscious. Of all others, and then of that fact that they are no others, that there are no others, that all is one, then ultimately, the ultimately of God, the magnificent God. So, I tell you this, there is no evil. You say, obviously, it's true, but you are perfect just as you are. You say, that can be true, but it is true. A tree is no less perfect because of the seedling, tiny, is just the
Hi. Okay, I'm back. I do apologize. I think we're experiencing issues. Can anyone hear me? Can anyone hear me?
Hey, yeah.
Okay.
I can hear
okay,
you.
Thank you. Okay. The child doesn't know right from wrong precisely, and neither do you. But you say, but I do know. I know that it is wrong to kill people and that it's right to love them. I know that it's wrong to hurt and right to heal, to make them better. I know that it's wrong to take what is not mine, to use others to be dishonest. And I could show you instances where each of those wrongs would be right. So then you say, okay, now you're playing with me. Not at all. Merely being factual. There are exceptions to rules. And then if there are exceptions to rules, then it is not a rule. So are you telling me that it's not wrong to kill, to hurt, or take from another? That depends on what you are trying to do. Okay, I get it. But that doesn't make these things right. Sometimes one has to do bad things to achieve a good thing, which doesn't make them bad things at all, then does it? They are just means to an end. So are you saying the end justify the means? What do you think? Don't you see what you're doing here? You're making up the rules as you go along. And don't you see something else? That's perfectly okay. It's what you're supposed to be doing. All of life is a process of deciding who you are, then experiencing that. As you keep expanding your vision, you make up new rules to cover that. As you keep enlarging your area about yourself, you create new do's and don'ts, yes and no's to encircle that. These are the boundaries that hold in something which cannot be held in. You cannot hold in you because you are as boundless as the universe. Yet you can create a concept about your boundlessness self by imagining and then accepting boundaries. In a sense, this is the only way you can know yourself as anything in particular. That which is boundless is boundless. That which is limitless is limitless. It cannot exit anywhere because it is everywhere. If it is everywhere, it is nowhere in particular. God is everywhere. Therefore, God is nowhere in particular. Because to be somewhere in particular, God would have to not be somewhere else, which is not possible for God. There is only one thing that is not possible for God, and that is for God to not be God. God cannot be, nor can God not be like itself. God cannot un-God itself. God is everywhere, and that's all there is to it. And since God is everywhere, God is nowhere, and if God is nowhere, where is God? Here now. Do you understand it a little better now? Do you see how you have created your ideas of right and wrong simply to define who you are? Do you see that without these definition boundaries, you are nothing? And do you see that, like God, changing the boundaries as you change your idea of who you are? Well, because there will always be some who breaks the rules, there's a rotten apple in every barrel. What I'm going to tell you now and in the rest of this podcast, which follows, may be very difficult for some people to understand and accept. It is going to violate much of what is held as truth in your present thought system. Yet, I cannot let you go on living with these constructions if this podcast is to serve you. So we must now meet some of these concepts head on. But it's going to be bumpy going here for a while, okay? I'm going to tell you this. There are no rotten apples. There are only people who disagree with your point of view on things. People who construct a different model of the world. I'm going to tell you this. No person do anything inappropriate given their model of the world. Well, you say, well, then their model is all messed up. I know what's right and wrong, and because some other people don't, that doesn't make me crazy because I do. They're the ones who are crazy. I'm sorry to say, but that's exactly the attitude which starts wars. Now, I'm doing that on purpose. I was just repeating here what other people are saying. But how can you answer people like that? What could you say? You could tell them that people's ideas of right and wrong changes and have changed over and over again from culture to culture, time period to time period, religion to religion, place to place, even from family to family and person to person. You could point out to them that what many people consider right at one time, burning people at the stake for what was considered witchcraft, as an example, is considered wrong today. You can tell them that a definition of right and wrong is a definition established not only by time, but also by simple geography. You can allow them to notice that some activities on this planet, prostitution for instance, are illegal in one place and just a few miles down the road, legal in another. And so whether a person is judged as having done something wrong is not a matter of what that person has actually done, but of where he has done it. Now, I'm going to repeat something that I've said in numerous podcasts and I get all kind of feedback on. Hitler went to heaven. Now, I'm sure people are not ready for this. The purpose of this podcast is to create a readiness for a new paradigm, a new understanding, a larger view, a grander idea. First, Hitler could not have gone to hell because hell does not exist. Therefore, there is only one place left to which he could have gone. But that begs the question. The real issue is whether Hitler's actions were wrong. Yet I have said over and over again that there is no right or wrong in the universe. A thing is not instinctively right or wrong. A thing simply is. Now, your thought that Hitler was a monster is based on the fact that he ordered the killing of millions of people, correct? What if I told you what you call death is the greatest thing that can happen to anyone? Then what? You think that life on earth is better than life in heaven. I tell you this, at the moment of your death, you will realize the greatest freedom, the greatest peace, the greatest joy, and the greatest love you have ever known. Shall we therefore punish Briar Fox for throwing Briar Rabbit into the briar patch? you say, okay, you are ignoring the fact, however wonderful life after death may be, our lives here should not be ended against our will. We came here to achieve something, to experience something, to learn something. And it is not right that our lives be cut short by some maniac hoodlum with insane ideas. First of all, remember, you are not here to learn anything. Life is not a school. And your purpose here is not to learn, it is to remember. And on your larger point, life is often cut short by many things, a hurricane, an earthquake. They'll say, that's different. You're talking about an act of God. Every event is an act of God. Do you imagine that an event could take place if God did not want it to? Do you think that you could so much as lift your finger if God chose for you not to? You can do nothing if God is against it. Yet, let us continue to explore the idea of wonderful, wrongful deaths together. It is wrong for a life to be cut short by disease. Isn't it wrong for a life to be cut short by disease? Wrong isn't a word that applies here. There are natural causes. That's not the same as human beings like hinder murdering people. What about an accident? A stupid accident? Same thing. It's unfortunate, tragic, but that's the will of God. We can't peer into God's mind to find out why these things happen. We ought not try, because God's will is immutable and incomprehensible. To seek to unravel divine mystery is to lust for knowledge beyond our ken. It is sinful. How do you know this? Because if God wanted us to understand all of this, we would. The fact that we don't, can't, is evident that it is God's will that we don't. Now, actually, the fact that you don't understand it is evidence of God's will. The fact that it happens is not evidence of God's will. So the question is, I guess I'm not very good at explaining some of this, but I know what I believe. So do you believe in God's will, that God is all-powerful? You say yes, except where Hitler was concerned. What happened there was not God's will? You say no. Then how can that be? Hitler violated the will of God. Now, how do you think he could do that if God's will is all-powerful? You allowed him. If I allowed him to, if God allowed him to, then was it God's will that he should do it? See, and what I'm trying to get us to understand is how this everything is going exactly how it's supposed to go, but our problem is we keep taking away from God. We only want to place, quote-unquote, what we call good on God, and we want to place what we put bad on this thing called the devil. And what we're doing is we're taking away from the allness of God. So, you see, it was God's will that Hitler, that all of you have free choice. But it is not God's will that you be punished unendlessly. If you do not make the choice that God wants you to make, if that were the case, how free have God made your choice? Are you really free to do what you want if you know you'll be made to suffer unspeakably if you do not do what God wants? What kind of choice is that? Well, you say, it isn't a question of punishment. It's just natural laws. It's simple, a question of consequences. So, you see, in all the theology constructions that allow you to hold God as a vengeful God without making God responsible for it. But who makes these natural laws? And if we can agree that God had put them into place, why would God put into place such laws, then give you the power to overcome them? If God didn't want you affected by them? If it was God's will that God's wonderful beings never suffered, why would God create the possibilities that you could? And then why would God continue to tempt you day and night to break the laws that God has set down? Then you say, well, you don't tempt us, the devil do. But there you go again, making God not responsible. Don't you see that the only way you can rationalize your theology is to render God powerless? Do you understand that the only way your construction makes sense is if gods don't? Are you really comfortable with the idea of a God who creates a being whose actions it cannot control? Well, you say, I didn't say you didn't control, you can't control the devil. You control everything. You're God. It's just that you choose not to. You allow the devil to tempt us, to try to win our souls. But why? Why would God do that if God don't want to have you to return unto God? Because you want us to come to you out of choice, not because there is no choice. You set up heaven and hell so that there could be a choice, so we could act out of choosing and not out of simply following a path because there was no other. I can see how you could come to this idea. Now, that's how I've set it up in your world, and so you think that's how it must be in God's. In your reality, good cannot exist without bad, so you believe it must be the same in God's. Yet I tell you this, there is no bad where God is. There is no evil. There is only the awe of everything, the oneness, the awareness, the experience of that is the realm of absolute, where one thing does not exist in relationship to another, but quite independent of anything. God is the place where all there is love. And you say, and there's no consequences to anything we think, say, or do on earth? Oh, but there are consequences. Look around you. Now, I mean death. There is no death. Life goes on forever and ever. Life is. You simply change form. All right, have it your way after we change form. After you change form, consequences cease to exist. There is just knowing. Consequences are an element of relativity. They have no place in the absolute because they depend on linear time and sequential events. These do not exist in the realm of the absolute. In that realm, there is naught but peace and joy and love. In that realm, you will know at last the good news that your devil does not exist, that you are who you always thought you were, goodness and love. Your idea that you might be something else has come from an insane outer world, causing you to act insanely, an outer world of judgment and condemnation. Others have judged you, and from their judgment, you have judged yourself. Now you want God to judge you, and God will not do it. And because you cannot understand a God who will not act as humans would, you are lost. Your theology is your attempt to find yourself again. So you call our theology insane, but how can any theology work without a system of reward and punishment? Everything depends on what you perceive to be the purpose of life, and therefore you base your basis of the theology. If you believe life exists as a test, a trial, a period of putting your thoughts, your pace to see if you are worthy, your theology begins to make sense. If you believe that life exists as an opportunity, a process through which you discover, remember that you are worthy and have always been, then your theology seems insane. If you believe God is an ego-filled God who requires attention, adoration, appreciation, and affection, and will kill to get it, your theology starts to hold together. If you believe that God is without ego or need, but the source of all things and the seat of all wisdom and love, then your theology falls apart again. If you believe that God is a vengeful God, jealous in his love and wrath in his anger, then your theologies are perfect. If you believe God is a peaceful God, joyous in her love and passionate in her ecstasy, then your theologies are useless. I tell you this, the purpose of life is not to please God. The purpose of life is to know and to recreate who you are. In doing so, you do please God and glorify her as well. Now, I guess somebody's saying, why do you keep saying her? Is God a she? God is neither a he nor a she. But I occasionally use the feminine pronoun just to draw you out of your parochial thinking. If you think God is one thing, then you will think God is not another. And that will be a large mistake. Hitler went to heaven for these reasons. There is no hell, so there is no place else for him to go. His actions, what you would call mistakes, the actions of an unevolved being, and mistakes are not punishable by condemnation, but death, but dealt with by providing the chance for correction, evolution. The mistakes Hitler made did no harm or damage to those whose death he caused. Those souls were released from their earthly bondage like butterflies emerging from a cocoon. The people who were left behind mourn those deaths only because they do not know of the joy into which those souls entered. No one has experienced death ever, no one who has ever experienced death ever mourned the death of anyone. So your statement that their deaths were needless, untimely, and therefore somehow wrong suggests that something could happen in the universe when it is not supposed to. Yet given who and what God is, that is impossible. Everything occurring in the universe is occurring perfectly. God hasn't made a mistake in a very long time. When you see the utter perfection in everything, not just those things with which you agree, but and perhaps especially those things with which you disagree, you achieve mastery. And that's important for us to understand, that God is in control. And if God is in control, we being children and part of the Most High, we've got to start looking at things from a different perspective. We've got to start looking at things from the spiritual perspective. We're too concerned with the physical. And anytime you want to quote Jesus, all he talked about was don't worry about somebody that can harm the body. Because we know that this body is just a temple that houses the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God is part of you. And until we come to truly understand this and stop accepting that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity and all, until we stop and let that go and understand that God did not make a mistake. Everything that is happening in your life right now is okay. It's okay with God. You know why it's okay with God? Because you chose it. And God's love for you is so strong that whatever you like, he likes. And this is what we have to understand. We have to stop thinking as God, as human. And what we need to start doing is start thinking of ourselves more in a godly state and not in a human state. So many times throughout Scripture, it says, judge ye not. There is a reason for that. There is a reason so many times in there it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Because when the final analysis is here, we will understand that we are all one. We are all part of the body of God. It is life. God is the life in the trees and the birds and the bees and everything. Anything that has life is part of God. So we've got to see ourselves in a different light. In some sense, we look at ourselves as being so magnificent that we can defy God. And then in another sense, we look at ourselves as being so unworthy. But that's because we keep changing our minds about all kinds of different things that we need not to. Listen to that voice that's inside of you, that's speaking to you daily, speaking to you right now. But if it disagrees with something that we've read or something that our mothers and fathers told us, we dismiss it as from Satan. But remember, Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. And so what we have to do is start getting in tune with the inner us. As I like to say on all of my podcasts, as I said over and over again, if you don't go within, you will go without. Now, I'm coming to the close of this podcast. I do truly thank each and every one of you who took the time to come and listen to it. I hope that there are questions, and what I really, really, really hope is that each and every one of you will take a moment just to have a talk with God so that God can answer them, and you can't say, oh, I don't know what that Brother Ron was talking about. It's not what Brother Ron is talking about. It is what the Spirit of God is trying to reveal to his people. And just know this, that God can come at you from any different way. Any question you might have, you might be riding down the street tomorrow and see a sign that answers that question. There is nothing too hard for God. God can use whatever he likes, a message to his people. We just have to be mindful of it and listen. God said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you.
Amen.
And God is not going to lie. He has no reason to lie. We as men, we men and women, we might tell a fib here and there. But God is God, the all of everything. And now if we're going to say this on the rooftop, we got to start believing it. Jesus said to many during his time here on earth, the reason why we can't do a lot of the things in which we're supposed to is because we don't believe. We don't believe that if we ask in our name that it can happen. When Jesus even said it, why marvel at these things? You can do this and much more. Jesus said, ask in my name, because he knew we didn't have the faith to ask in our own. But I tell you, you can ask in your name and believe without a shadow of a doubt, and the same results will happen if you ask in Jesus' name. God is here for us. He's speaking to us on a daily basis. It's just a question of who will listen. He's always talking to us. It's a question of who will listen. So I'm asking everyone to take time out to see if they can find just a little time that they might be able to listen to God. That something that was said on this podcast tonight would be able to stir up something inside them that they might seek truth and understanding to God's will and God's way. I love you all very much. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And just so you know, I'll be back on again. Hopefully I'll have this communication issues with this podcast worked out a little bit better. But I hope you'll all come back again on Thursday, 9 o'clock. We will be here. We love you all. And so I say to you all, Good night. God bless. And remember, you are part of the body of God. I love you all. Good night, everyone.
Amen.
Love you, too. Good night. Thank you.